Good morning. So last week we started looking at the book of Jonah. Looked at just the first three verses. And we saw that God called Jonah to go to a foreign nation, Assyria, the city of Nineveh, so they're not Israelites, right? It's a foreign mission call here. And to proclaim God's judgment on them, to preach against them for their evil deeds. And it is an evil city, a wicked, wicked city and nation, Assyria. And Jonah, because he believed God, ran away. It wasn't that he didn't believe the word that God spoke to him. It wasn't that he didn't believe that God was who God says he is. It was because he believed God was a merciful God, as he'll say explicitly later on in the book. He ran away because he didn't want God to save Nineveh. He didn't want these terrible people to be saved. He hates these people. They're so other. And he is part of the good people, even though his people are not following God at this time at all. And Jonah is so upset. So it's just such a fascinating picture. It's not a problem of his faith. It's not a problem of what he believes. We often think if you just believe the right thing, everything in life would fall in place. No. Jonah believed God, and he didn't like what God was gonna do. And so he runs away, runs in the other direction. And he goes and he gets on a ship to try to get away from the presence of God. And this morning, we'll look at what happens when he is on that ship. I think it's interesting for us to remember, Jonah was running away because he didn't want these foreigners, these people he didn't like, to be saved. We'll see how much good that does him. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. This is God's word. We see here that God is a God who pursues the lost, who goes after those who are lost, both those who are his people and those who are not yet his people. It's a very important distinction, lack of distinction that I believe we need to relearn and be re-energized by walking with God. God's heart is for all people to know him. That we can't look and say, those people over there are bad. They're not good like we are. That entire paradigm needs to be just broken down within us. Us good Christians, them bad, whatever group it is, whatever type of people that it is. We see here that God pursues the Ninevites. We see that God pursues Jonah, even though Jonah is trying to run away from him. And we'll see that God is pursuing even the sailors in this passage too. First, God sends a great storm. It's interesting wording here. He doesn't say he's angry, but there seems to be a little bit of that. It's interesting, he used the word, he hurls a storm at them. But that word is used three times in our passage this morning. God hurls the storm, then the sailors hurl the cargo off the deck, and then the sailors hurl Jonah off the deck. Just this interesting repetition here. Why does God send the storm? Is he judging Jonah? Is he judging these sailors? Well, clearly we know, as the passage unravels here, he's not judging the sailors. And actually, he's not judging Jonah. The storm sounds terrifying. They feared for their lives. These are seasoned sailors. This is their profession. And they are terrified at this storm. So it was a really, really bad storm that's spoken about throughout the whole passage here. And in fact, it gets worse as the passage goes on. But this storm was God's grace to the sailors, but also to Jonah. I don't want to say that glibly or lightly, but I do think it is important for us to change our thinking that if something is going wrong in our lives, or we're having a struggle or a hard time or some type of suffering, that it means God is either ignoring us or abandoning us, or that he's mad at us and judging us. Oftentimes, God, in his complete wisdom and love for us, brings things into our lives that are so hard, but that he uses for our good. This storm is just one example of that. God is going to use this storm to save the sailors and save Jonah. not just save his physical life, but also reorient Jonah to follow God, calling him back to follow him. Sometimes it's the hard things in life that God uses and the sufferings in life. Well, after the storm comes up in verse 4, the sailors, as we mentioned, are terrified. They fear the storm. We see this in verses 5 and 6. They're scared. They all cry out to their gods. So they're not Jewish. They're foreigners. They have all these foreign gods. They work really, really hard to try to save their lives. They're throwing things off. Later, they start rowing really hard, and they're working hard because they're scared. They're doing everything they know how, including praying to their false gods. There's an act here of people of faith. Now, it's a false faith. I'm not trying to equate that to believing in the true God. But there's this interesting contrast here between how hard the sailors are working to save their lives and what's Jonah doing. Jonah's asleep. He's down in the hull of the boat, and he's asleep. Now, this automatically makes me think instantly of when Jesus is asleep in the boat, right? When the storm comes up, and the disciples are terrified, right? I don't think that parallel is accidental, but I also don't think that it's the same situation here. Jesus was asleep because he trusted in God. Jonah is asleep because he's trying to get away from God. He's not working like the sailors are to try to rescue, save their lives. I've heard some suggest a parallel here and ask the question, are we as the church asleep like Jonah? Jonah wasn't trying to help these pagans save their lives. He didn't really care about the pagans' lives. He knows it's his fault why this is happening. Have we as the church stopped caring about other people's lives and souls? Have we hunkered down so much into a defensive position, which is just, we're just going to look after ourselves and care for ourselves and try to keep that awful, terrible world out? The church in America used to give so much money to foreign missions, to send missionaries around the world. We don't anymore as a whole. The percentages have gone way, way down on sending missionaries to people who have never heard the gospel before. And the percentages we spend on our own buildings and sanctuaries and our own trying to compete with entertainment in the world has gone up significantly. Have our hearts grown callous and cold to non-believers? I so often hear Christians talk in such angry ways, such unkind ways about people who are not believers. I'm not suggesting that we endorse sin. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying Jesus so loved the world that he came down and dwelt among us and gave his life so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Well, next, in verses 7 through 10, the sailors fear Jonah's actions. They fear what Jonah has done. They cast lots. So interesting, right? This whole casting of lots thing, like, what's going on here? But I think just as God has control over the sea and the storm and all of creation, so he has control over the casting of lots, and he chose here, and we also see that in Acts chapter 2 when they need to find a replacement for Judas. There's the casting of lots. In Israel, they had a thing with the breastplate of the high priest. They had the Urim and Thummim, and they used it in a casting of lots kind of a way. Sometimes God calls for this. It's not saying this is what we should do all the time, that this is the normal way in which we should make decisions. But in this case here, God works through the casting of lots. They're trying to figure out, the sailors trying to figure out, well, whose fault is this? And it's Jonah that the lots show. And I think it's so interesting here, the lack of judgment of these pagan sailors. This is amazing to me. I just fear so much of the church in America now is, would just be like, we cast these lots, again, not suggesting that that's a good way to do business, and then we'd instantly go in and just yell at Jonah, and just, but instead the sailors say, ooh, okay, the lot fell on Jonah, we cast the lot to see who's at fault. Let's ask him some gentle questions first. So, do you know what's going on? Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do? We're trying to figure out because we're terrified here. It's just so interesting that they don't instantly jump into judgment, that they ask these questions. Who are you? In verse 9, he says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, and the Lord is the one who is, you know, he's sovereign over earth and the seas. And they're like, oh no, you gotta be kidding me. Really, your God is in charge of the seas also? That seems to be the problem we're having right now. And they're terrified. They're terrified. They learn from Jonah. He tells them himself. He says, my God who's in control of the seas and all of creation, I'm running away from him. Oh, seriously? Really? We got stuck with this guy? And they're scared. It says in verse 10, the men were exceedingly afraid. Exceedingly afraid. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Well, then in verses 11 through 16, the sailors learn to fear God, to fear the Lord. Even now, they don't just kill him. They respect his life so much, this life of this person who's caused this trouble, who they don't know, who they have no connection to. He's not part of their family. He's not part of their nation. He's not part of their race. And they still respect his life, have such a dignity for his life. Jonah says, throw me overboard. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. That's terrible to kill you and incur your God's wrath even more. And so they try to row harder, but God makes the waves bigger and the storm greater. And they're like, what are we going to do? And so before they even act then, they cry out to God. They pray now. During this whole storm, Jonah wasn't praying. He was asleep. Now these pagans, these non-believers who worship false gods, they cry out to the Lord. O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. Don't judge us for what he did, but also, we got to do something now, throw him overboard. And we're praying to you, God, please don't make us guilty of murder. We don't know what else to do. So they pick Jonah up and they hurl him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Instantly, the sea is calmed. Now, we'll see next week that this is the way God is going about saving Jonah. This was all the storm, it was to save Jonah. And in this moment, God uses this to save these sailors. They have been through this experience. They have prayed in their fear. They have seen God act. And what is their response? Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. We see their whole life is changed. They actually take action. Again, it's not just belief in their head. They took action. They made sacrifices on the ship. They make vows on the ship to God, to follow God, to believe in God, and live accordingly. They don't know who this God is yet. All they know is he is the God of creation, and he is powerful. And they commit themselves to him. Funny, Jonah's been running away from seeing pagans converted. And in doing so, pagans are converted. God is at work to save people, even people whom we think are beyond his reach. And this is why he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross in our place, so that all, everyone who calls upon his name, who trusts in Jesus, would be saved. That's the heart of God, and that must be our heart for the lost. We see who God is. God relentlessly, unstopping, unceasing, comes after us when we run away from God, when we deny him. And he comes after those who are lost because he loves us. He loves us. God relentlessly pursues us. Let us be his hands, his voice, his feet to one another and to the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving us. It's not because we were good and others are bad. It's simply by your mercy, by your grace. Forgive us, Lord, when we stop caring about the lost, when we start othering people and calling groups of people them, those people. Help us, world, Lord, to bring the love of Jesus into a hurting world. If we are trying to escape you, or if we are asleep, Lord God, call us. Pursue us, Lord. And in our community, in our families, we pray, O God, that you and your love would pursue those who do not know you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.